Hey, what's up, guys? It's Wes Gardner, Mr. Comedy Da Hobo himself, and I'm here to tell you about something that our good friends at Audible are offering you fine listeners of Brothering Around. If you go to audibletrial.com/brotheringaround, you get a free 30-day trial of Audible, over 180,000 audiobooks to choose from. If you have something that can listen to Brothering Around, you have something that can get some of the best audiobooks on the planet from your good friends at Audible. So go to audibletrial.com/brotheringaround, get a free audiobook on the house just for signing up for the 30-day free trial. No stipulations, no weird blood pact you have to make. It's your book to keep forever. And guess what? It's from your boys here at Brothering Around. That's audibletrial.com/brotheringaround. Oh, your boy's back at it again. Back at it again. It's episode number 28? 29? One of those 20s. Something. I'm trying to bring up the website right now. But hey, it's Brothering Around. It's your good friends, Wes Gardner, Mr. Comedy Da Hobo himself, as one of your hosts. And over there, we got Mr. Marco Flores, Nerd in the Bay.
Hello, Wes. This is Howard Finkel.
Oh, my God. And in this corner,
Marco's a little preoccupied right now, so he allowed me to
Howard
introduce
Finkel.
The
Such
show
a...
of Brothering Around.
Wow.
Of episode 28.
It's such an honor, Fink, for you to be on the show.
I've been listening to a bunch of podcasts and they've been doing like Howard Finkel impressions.
God, they are incredible at the Howard Finkel impressions. And the Undertaker. Like they nail those.
Now I just be sure to watch out for that choke slam.
Jokes. Oh, now it makes me need to do. I need to do my Jimmy Hart, and then
so
it'll be.
Yeah.
All right.
In our downtime, we're gonna work on.
That's what
impressions.
We're gonna do. All right, baby.
I'm gonna work on.
Gotta cover it for you. Come on, baby. Me and the Hulkster, we gonna come at you.
Jimmy, this is not Legends House.
Come on, baby. Let's go. We got. We got to get it. We got to get it and go. Oh. Yeah, cover,
love
baby.
Love it. All right. So that my Howard Finkel is a work in progress.
Dude, that's already pretty solid. Because the moment you did it, I was like, oh. And then they make, on old school wrestling podcasts, they make fun. For a while, there was an announcer in WCW that would say everybody's name with the same cadence. He would say everybody's name like Vader. Like he would do this weird, like almost if you looked at the sound wave, it was like a camel hump. He would always say like,
yeah.
And you have Scott Steiner. But he would say everybody's name that way. And you're like, this guy's terrible. Yeah. Like there's no, everyone sounds the same.
Yeah. I like.
Like, I just need to do that at work.
Yeah, I know. I like whoever is the SmackDown announcer. I don't know it. Don't know his name right now, but he always says the same thing. The following contest is scheduled for one fall. Everybody's like one fall, and then depending who it is, like if it's AJ Styles, they'll say who like to be referred as the face that runs the place. Like he gives everybody like a nickname, which is pretty cool. Yeah. So I like that guy.
Is it Justin
Roberts? Over JoJo.
It might be Justin Roberts, because he does that? Justin Roberts, I think, does that quite
Justin
a bit.
Oh, Justin Roberts.
Yeah. Is it him? Because I know he's...
He got let go.
Oh, that's right. Wasn't he the guy that Daniel Bryan choked with a tie back in the day?
Yes,
during,
he
like,
did.
He
did. On Nexus debut.
Wrestling history right there.
Mm-hmm. That is Finkel true. And Jimmy Hart and yeah, man.
We got the hot hits. Speaking of hot hits, this show is going to be a fun one. This episode,
we
talked about it before. We got all excited. It's going to be a mix of nostalgia, a mix of me making bad choices. It's going to be a good one. It's going to be a very good one.
Isn't that life, though?
Making bad choices. That is correct. Yeah, absolutely. And then you look back and just shake your head like, man, what was I thinking? But so you have been once again posting up YouTube videos out the wazoo. Like, literally, I think every single day over the past 2 weeks, you have published a video.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been close, man.
I was trying to keep it consistent. I was spacing out my intro to mobile games, and then if there was a story that I wanted to talk about, then I'll definitely would just make a quick video or just make a video and just talk about it.
Yeah.
And make a little flash, you know, put not just my face on the video and just show what I'm trying to talk about. So
yeah, man. And like,
that's still a work in progress as well.
Yeah, dude. I felt like I was slacking. I was like, God, Marco's bumping out content faster than I can even think about it.
Yeah.
It's good, dude. But you actually had a video recently about like what, a few days ago, about a Sega revival.
Yeah, Sega revival. So like with that video, that basically the news kind of broke out like I want to say like Monday or something. that Sega had some sort of like whatever quarterly meeting, whatever you want to call it, you know, meeting of some sort, and said
they want to
make a revival of their past like old titles from now till 2020, which is pretty cool. You know, they up to 2020, so there's going to be a bunch of games that you can will probably see in that span of time from now till 2020. So like the Destructoid article kind of like showcased in like a PDF form like what their meeting entailed and stuff. So like that's when it said like that's when the Mega Revival was a thing, an actual thing. So like I think with Destructoid, they kind of made this article saying that, like, you know, this is what they want to do. And so they had this like compilation picture of all these old games, like basically Genesis games.
Yeah.
So like I posted it to Wes just now before we started recording, and you're just seeing maybe like a small list of games that maybe like a possibility that will come back, right? So like when I made the video, I was like, oh yeah, man. So like I was just saying, like, for me personally, like Eternal Champions, I would love to see that come back.
Yeah, man.
Just because, like, you know, me like fighting games, and Eternal Champions was like a game that I was playing, not like hardcore, but like, yeah, it's a fighting game. It's like something different and stuff. And then like, you know, your Streets of Rage, your beat 'em ups and stuff like that. So I think at the time of that video, that's what I was thinking. But like when I look at this list, like, yeah, there's a lot of games that I would love to come back and play, right?
So I mean, this is like a greatest. And yeah, we're looking at it, and I might actually make this picture the background picture for the YouTube archive. So yeah, I mean, I could go down this whole list, but some of the big ones, of course, there's Hard Drivin', which awesome game. NBA Jam, of course. Like we talked about, I wish they would have put Tournament Edition on there, but they got Michael Jackson's
possibility.
Yeah, they got Michael Jackson's Moonwalker.
Of
course, Moonwalker. Road Rash. Like Road Rash is my jam.
For sure.
Eternal Champions, hot hit. Castle of Illusion, great with Mickey Mouse. All those Mickey Mouse games during the 16-bit era, ridiculously good. Ghouls and Ghosts, like spot on.
Yeah, man. Ghouls and Ghosts.
Spot on. That was Dark Souls before Dark Souls. Like it was. That game, man. Let's see.
You couldn't beat it correctly until you had like some sort of item.
That's right. Yeah. And like the benefit of having armor is you could take more hits, because as you got hit, your armor would go down, and then you would be in your boxers. Running around, which was hilarious. But of course you have Altered Beast, you have Aladdin, a lot of the Disney games. You have, of course, every Sonic the Hedgehog, Shinobi, Revenge of Shinobi, Street Fighter 2 Championship Edition, which is like might be the greatest fighting game ever made type of thing. Like in my mind's eye, you have to work real hard to beat Street Fighter II Championship Edition.
Mm-hmm.
So, and of course, Phantasy Star 2, 3, and 4. And now the geek part of me, and this will be the second segment, but I'm like, hey, I have a boxed copy of Phantasy Star 3.
Great.
You know, so, but yeah, just solid games. Flashback, Gunstar Heroes. Yeah, any of these games, I would imagine a lot of these would be on something like that, because these are the usual games that you would see. You know how at the stores they sell the Sega Genesis with 30 built-in games?
Mm-hmm.
That's what a lot of these are. So we know they have the rights to do it. Some of them might be a little tricky, though. I'm trying to look at, I'm not actually sure what Capcom's licensing fee is now on old Street Fighter games. You know what I'm saying? Like, Capcom's kind of stingy about that stuff. If you ask them on the right day, you'll be good. But, and then, like, oh god, there was another game I saw up here that the licensing might be. Crew Ball, the Motley Crew based pinball game.
Pinball game, that's right.
So, yeah, that might be a little tricky. But I mean, a lot of these would be bang on. I mean, Mortal Kombat 2. Kid Chameleon. Yeah. They could make this work. So yeah, out of all the Sega kind of property type things for this old retro stuff, what is kind of the one that you would want to see? Like, you would hope it would be included.
Yeah, out of the ones that I like, because I looked through these, like Afterburner, yeah, I would love, because I love Afterburner.
Or any of them, even if it's not on the list.
Especially like in the arcades where you had the whole like mechanized thing, and like you're moving from side to side.
Yeah, that's for sure.
That type of Afterburner. Something that I would like to see, I don't know, man. That's a pretty long history of Sega games that I don't know. That's a pretty big question.
I would think Saturday Night Slam Masters.
Sure. Oh yeah.
Got to see that one.
Yeah. Saturday Night Slam Masters. I'm looking at like Revenge of Shinobi right now.
Yeah.
Like, dude, it's kind of like catching my eyes. Like, oh yeah, Joe the Shinobi.
Joe the Shinobi. Joe. That's right. Shinobi Joe.
His name was Joe out of all names. And then like Forgotten Worlds. I remember that game, like that Capcom game. That was a fun game.
Great game. Shinobi 3 was hard as balls. I remember that
game. Yeah. Yeah.
Beast. Strider, of course.
Mm-hmm. Strider.
The deal for Strider
was like the arcade perfect game.
Yes, it was, and it's hilarious because it's that cover is dreadful, because he doesn't look like a ninja. He also looks like he's in a weird floating castle, which maybe that's true, but it looks like an Arabian castle, and that's like, yeah, that doesn't make sense.
It's almost like Fabio in like Wizards and Warriors.
Yeah, someone put him in a shield tank top. And and like he has big like motorcycle combat boots on,
right?
Like, yeah,
right.
This is not a ninja from the way I think of it. This is like the 1980s Miami Connection version of the
ninja, exactly.
You know, those old 80s B movies. Let's see. God, there's some. Oh, let's see. Super Thunder Blade. So that was a game lot like, you know, Jungle Strike, Desert Strike, Urban Strike, a lot of those games. Of course, Streets of Rage. I mean, Streets of Rage 1 has maybe the worst box art I've ever seen in my life. Like, if you look at the reactions of people, and there's a guy, like, throwing a cat out of a window, there's just really weird shit on that cover.
Yeah, and it doesn't match exactly what the game is.
Right, they're like, just selling
Axel it. Axel doesn't wear the other guy's gear, like, you know, colored swap gear.
Yeah.
And like Blaze is like, why is she wearing all white when she's wearing all red in the game?
Right.
Like, weird decision like that. Haunting. I'm looking at Haunting, and like that was a trap game, wasn't it?
I think so. Yeah, because you were the bad guy, right?
And yeah.
Had like kind of the house that you had to make these automated AIs like fall for certain things so you could bait them.
Right.
Okay. Almost like a mousetrap game, I would think. Some of these stuff. And a lot of these I was looking and I was like, I don't think I've ever played like in Sector X. I don't know what that is.
I think I've seen that. It was like a Gradius type. It was a Gradius like game, I believe.
Like a shmup type deal.
Yeah, shmup. Yeah, Last Battle is actually Fist of the North Star, but they get like that corny generic cover.
Oh, really? Is it an actual, or is it basically they just ripped off the story of Fist of the North Star, or is it an actual?
Pretty much.
Oh, gotcha.
Pretty much, it was pretty much Fist of the North Star. Like as you beat up enemies and you level up, you get bigger and get gear and armored up and stuff.
Yeah.
It was a weird like side scroller beat 'em up, like RPG ish.
Huh.
Game. Yeah.
And then, you know a game that is actually really, really bad, but I played so much of it that I kind of have a soft spot and I would like to play it again, but I don't think I have the patience. So Troy Aikman came out with a football game.
Yeah.
Literally called Troy Aikman Football. It was trying to get in on the whole Madden shtick. And this wasn't on the quality of like Ken Griffey Jr. baseball. This was.
Or Joe Montana football.
Yeah, or Joe Montana football. This was like dank, not very good. Maybe it is awesome, and I'm giving it a hard time. Because I remember playing the shit out of that game. You know? I think my uncle bought it for me because it was on sale somewhere because they were like clearancing it out. But oh my God, like a year of my life, probably just playing Troy Aikman football. And being, it was during the money time too, man. And you'll know all about this. So it was the time where the biggest rivalry in freaking sports was the Dallas Cowboys versus the San Francisco 49ers. So was it. So you got freaking Joe Montana and Jerry Rice versus Troy Aikman and whoever the hell else was on the team. Like,
oh, man. Emmitt Smith.
Emmitt Smith. Yes. So that is the one time. Like, I'm not even big into sports anymore, but I remember that. I had the freaking pennant banners for San Francisco 49ers. I had a poster of Jerry Rice and like one of like Eat Your Vitamins type shit. Like, I had all that stuff. All that 90s era nonsense.
Man.
So good games. Yeah, Sega was freaking good.
Yeah, it's a good list. This is a good list. At least if this is the main list of possible games, and it could be like more than what we're seeing now.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good list.
That'd be a great deal.
You're not even talking about Sega CD sort of like type games and Saturn.
Oh, sure. Oh man.
They could be ranging from like those systems too.
Then you start putting in stuff like Burning Rangers and Panzer Dragoon.
Yeah.
Guardian Heroes. God, yeah. Yeah, you start tearing it up, man.
Man.
Sega's great. What happened? Yeah. You know, I mean, fair play.
Bad business decision.
Yeah, fair play, though. They have Yakuza. So
they do.
Not all bad.
Not that bad.
They can screw up Sonic the Hedgehog all they want. Just give me more Yakuza. You know, like I don't give a shit. I could play the old ones if I wanted a Sonic game.
And you know what? They need to bring back Virtual Fighter. They need to bring that back.
Oh my God, Virtual Fighter 5. Such a good game.
Yeah.
Such a good game.
That's as close of a perfect fighting game as you can get. But that learning curve.
Oh,
that learning curve though, holy shit. If you can get back past that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You go against those Japanese players online.
Right.
No chance.
Right.
Like your everyday kind of casual virtual fighter player would be a freaking esports legend compared to, you know what I mean? Like, and those are just the guys that would just hang out and play Virtua Fighter. And they could pick any character on the roster and you would not get a hit out. Like you wouldn't get a hit off. God, those guys are crazy good. And you knew the moment because go ahead.
Oh no, I was gonna say a virtual fighter player named Fudo won a Evo Street Fighter 4 tournament and his main game is Virtual Fighter. Like, what the hell is that?
That's
like
crazy.
I'm pretty sure like he played Street Fighter as well, but his main game was Virtual Fighter. So like,
that's nuts.
You
man.
Win Evo and you win all these Street Fighter 4 main superstars and you know playing the game and a Virtual Fighter player is able to beat them. Like, it's crazy.
That's nuts. And yeah, that's almost like, oh, I don't really speak this language, but I guess I'll translate the Bible or something. Yeah. You know, you're like, what? Like, that's outrageous.
Yeah, yeah.
that's just insane talent, you know? And but yeah, because you could customize your character in Virtua Fighter 5 and you could go online. So you could deck out your guy with like a fur coat and like look all badass.
Right.
And then you knew you were in trouble whenever you were playing online. A Japanese name popped up and out walks the fighter looking exactly the fucking same as the arcade version of the fighter. They didn't touch it. They didn't make him, his shoes red. They didn't do anything. Yeah. They didn't touch it because they don't have time for that shit.
They just rather play rather than
they like, need to destroy you in Virtua Fighter. Like that's why they exist. Yeah. Oh, it's, my heart would sink. I would like set down the controller. I'm like, all right, this isn't gonna go well.
You
oh man, but yeah, Sega. God, during that Genesis era, I mean, for the kids that weren't around, I don't think they can understand what that time was like. Dude. Like genuinely, I don't think they can understand because technology was changing so much. The internet did not exist yet, so you got all of your news from video game magazines.
Magazines and such.
So you just spent weeks looking through these pictures like, oh my God, I can't wait to play that. I need to save up my allowance money and go to the store, and next time we go to the store, I need to see if they have this on the shelf.
Yeah.
And
Or rent the game.
Go to Blockbuster, go to Movie Gallery, go to these rental places, because there were so many of them back then. And if they were cool places, they would have the new games. But what you would get used to is you would know the stores that would have the older games that not a lot of people went to because they're usually cheaper. It's usually cheaper to rent those games. So you get a lot more game for a lot less money. And oh, yeah, man. It was such a weird time because, yeah, technology was getting crazy. And then entertainment technology was kind of the cool thing. So you had... You know, on the Today Show, they still kind of have, oh, here's the Switch, here's the new Xbox One. But there was nothing like seeing some kids playing like Super Nintendo in front of a giant Christmas tree saying, this is the hot thing for Christmas. Like, this is the one. Nowadays, it's like, oh, yeah, the new video game system's out. Be sure to go buy it. But this was like, look at these graphics. And they would play something like Super Hang-On or like Outrun. Yeah. And they're like, look how realistic this looks. Holy shit. Like, even the people, you know, Al Rokers of the world would be like, I've never seen anything like this in my life. Like, they would just be flipping their wigs. And like, yeah, so everyone was on board. Like Burger King would, you know, that that's their kid, right. their value meal was kick ass because it gave you a Mario toy, like which they're doing again. But, you know, that was it, man. Video games were it. Mm-hmm. And, but now it's not like that. Like it's part of the culture. And like now, you know.
Yeah, it's part of the norm now.
Yeah, it's part of the norm. But it was, there was nothing like it back in the 90s. There was nothing like it. It took over everything. It took over the world. And I think that's also why I'm probably going through my nostalgia phase of like, maybe I need to own some box Genesis and Super Nintendo games. Maybe I need to go down that path you know, start collecting for these systems. Maybe that has something to do with it. I don't know. Kind of reliving that golden era. And because that's the stuff that you just knew a lot about it. Because we would just dedicate ourselves to reading the magazine coverage and just going, going to the rental store and just playing it, playing the same one game for weeks.
Yeah.
It's just not like that anymore. The games come out so frequently. There's so many good ones. There's so many bad ones. Like you just had to take the gamble before, you know, if you played a cool game. I remember going to the arcade and playing Mortal Kombat 3. And then the fact that I learned that they would release it for the Sega Genesis and the Super Nintendo, I was beside myself. I was like, you're telling me I can play this game at home?
On both,
Unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah. Same thing with Street Fighter.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
When that first came out, like, oh yeah, I can play Street Fighter at home. I don't have to put in quarters.
Yeah. Well, this is bargain of the century. I'm gonna save so much money. Like, and you did, you know? And I remember going to in Kingstone, Georgia, there was a place called Sam's Skate World. And it was a skating rink.
Okay.
And all they had was a Street Fighter Tournament Edition arcade cabinet.
Nice.
That's all they had. But that was the only game you needed. Because we went fucking crazy.
Everybody was on there.
Oh my God. Yeah. We would dedicate, like, oh, hey, Friday evening, cancel all your plans. Everyone's meeting up, all 12 of us. Yeah, we're playing Street Fighter. Bring your quarters. If you got a dollar, go up to the nice lady and have her break that dollar for you to get some quarters.
Mm-hmm.
That was it, man. And then at school on Monday, you would talk trash about what happened at the Street Fighter fights.
Yeah.
I mean, that was it, dude. And the whole, like I said, the whole thing has changed. And unless you were there, unless you kind of lived through it and really absorbed that culture, I don't think video games will ever get there again. Just because it's past, like, it's kind of faux pas now.
Yeah, you have online now, and
yeah, you have online and
comfort of your own home, and
yeah,
I mean, you can sort of do it with like local tournaments. But if you are into that, or if you're that into that game and into the scene, or you want to get into the scene,
yeah,
it's like if Initial D, the racing game, is your jam, like you have to find online like that's where the Initial D spots are,
and you got to join
like in your area.
Yeah, the Facebook group for Initial D video game fans,
or you know what I mean? On Discord now.
Yeah, Discord. You get in a public Discord of people that exactly.
Yeah.
So you can find the communities, and communities are set up for everything, but it's just not. Yeah. It's almost like the thing exists, so now there's a community. But back in the day, that's all you had. So you built a community around it.
Everybody gathered at the arcade where they know is an arcade, and you know whatever their game is they're playing, and then you'll see the everyday people. You'll see like, oh hey, what's up?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I'm gonna take you out this side. I know you're not, dude. I know this new tech.
Yeah, yeah. I've been studying this one, and like the same thing would happen at like Blockbuster. You know, everyone would be there Friday nights, man. Everyone. If you were anybody, you were a Blockbuster on Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
Random.
You can
shit.
Rent the good game before everybody else.
And see, that was the other secret, is what were those rentals? They usually said a week, but they recommended you bring it back like in 5 days or so.
Yeah.
Because after that, you start accruing a late fee. And then, so the secret was go in the Wednesday, because that's when people are returning their games.
Yeah.
And then you get first dibs, but then people started wising up, you know?
Yeah.
People got real, and they understood how the racket worked. But yeah, all that stuff, the whole different culture around it.
It's crazy. It's crazy now that we're here now, and you could just sign up for Gamefly, and then you'll just get games coming to you, or
video games or monthly. I'm getting retro. I'm getting retro games sent to my fucking house every single month.
Yeah,
I don't have to do anything.
Yeah,
it's awesome. But it's also like, it's so different. I mean, tell me, if 8-year-old you knew you recorded a video game podcast for the entire world to listen to.
A video game radio show?
Yeah. That you were on global radio.
Yeah.
Talking about video games, and people were listening.
Right.
No way.
Nah.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have believed you. Mm-mm. Wouldn't have believed you.
Mm-mm. Not happening.
All right.
It's crazy. And we have like sponsorships. Like people sponsor us to talk about shit. You know what I mean? Like what? So bizarre.
Like, you mean to tell me I'm a double Z tier YouTube celebrity?
Yeah. Wait, hold on a minute.
Double Z, maybe triple Z.
Yeah. But... Audible, literally.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm also on not a level that, but they found it worthy. You know what I'm saying? So it's whatever. You want to sponsor? That's A-OK, man.
Yeah, man, for sure.
So But just, and that kind of ties into what my my deal, because it all kind of ties into retro and collecting and
stuff
like that. So you're
starting your journey in a sense.
Starting that journey. And yeah, I'm definitely getting into game collecting. I've got a retro system that plays regular Nintendo, Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis. And now it's getting to the point to where it can actually become a thing. Because now I'm getting, Twitter friend requests and Facebook shout outs and all that stuff from people that really know how this racket is run. So, do video games monthly. I get games sent to me every month. We're always going to do unboxing videos. We're going to take a look at what we got. But, I imported two games. And I'm not going to say what the games are because I'm going to do a video on it. So, to kind of reveal. But, importing two Japanese games. I can't even play. I've played them before. But I just wanted a pristine copy of these two games. And Japanese copies were the best way to go. And I was even talked to other collectors. And they're like, if all you want is just the game and you're already still playing it through emulation or whatever anyway, just get the Japanese copy. Because it was legally you're covered for copyright because you own the game. And even nowadays with systems, did you know this? The Retron 5, you know how they have those Retron retro systems?
Yeah.
The Retron 5 basically works through emulation. So you put your real cartridge in, and then what it does is it downloads the ROM onto the system's RAM. So you're playing an emulated version of the game. So it does high def, it does up to 1080p. So it looks perfect, it looks beautiful. But the thing that blew me away, and I was like, oh shit, now I gotta buy one of these, is you can have a Japanese copy of a game, put it in, and then it asks, would you like to download an English translation patch for this?
Hell yeah.
You better believe it. And what we were talking about before the show, you can get really rare RPGs. And I mean Tactics Ogre. You can Bahamut Lagoon, which didn't even come out here in America.
Didn't even come out here.
Final Fantasy VI, Chrono Trigger. You can get Breath of Fire 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
$10. $10. In box. So you're telling me I can get an actual copy of Breath of Fire 2, put it in my Retron, and that shit is going to turn into English. So I spent $10 on a $90 video game. That is deal of the century.
That's good, man.
So talking on that level, right? Now I did a faux pas. I did something. Whenever I told you I did this, you laughed.
Yeah, blasphemy.
But it is blasphemy. So there's a certain level as a gamer that you get to that what I'm about to say, it's going to make your skin crawl. It's going to make it, you're going to seize up a little bit. You might dry heave. I understand. People start getting sick as I say what I did. So I got a GameStop Power Up Rewards card.
That's still funny. It's so funny. You're in it a second time. What?
I got the fucking GameStop discount card.
Oh, man.
So a lot of you are probably baffled right now. I know Marco is. So
this looking forward to those Game Informers you're gonna get.
I actually asked for the physical ones too because I want to show that shit. I want to show it.
Yeah.
So
Game Informer unboxing.
Let's see what has happened on page 37.
Reaction videos and reviews.
Oh my god, I don't even read what it says. I'm just looking at the magazine and I'm like, and then that's it. It's 4 minutes long. I don't even mention what I'm reading, and then I just shut the camera. It'll be quality top tier YouTube content.
There you go.
So here's the reason why, and to affirm this actually happened today. They are not making Wii U games anymore.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's the Switch.
Yeah.
They're doing crazy clearances on Wii and Wii U games. You save additional on clearance stuff with that power-up reward card or whatever.
Okay.
The two games I bought today almost paid for the entire card based on how much money I saved.
Oh, interesting.
So, this is also, and then what I did is I got them and I was like, this seems like a pretty good deal. I was looking, it's a complete in-box copy. I was like, you know, I mean, not a bad game. I never played it. I have a Wii U that can play Wii games. All you need is the nunchuck and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But I can play these games. And then I looked, and it was cheaper than what you can find it on Amazon or eBay.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So that's what I started. I was like, wait a minute. When did this happen? When did GameStop's used games start being decent values? Like, because it's a perfect condition. I have a full box copy. And I'll tell you what it is. It's Metroid Other M.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, cool. The Metroid game. So it's like 2D, and then you go into 3D Metroid Prime mode and stuff. Dude, I got this thing for like $6.
That's good.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And then it has the full book. It even has the, like, sign up for the Nintendo Club thing that comes inside of it. So I'm like, okay, if I'm wanting to make a big deal about collecting box copies of games that are good games, let me start with that one. It's $6. It's complete. The disc is in perfect condition.
Mm-hmm.
Hell yeah. I'll take that bet. And then, but I was looking around, and the same thing for PS3 stuff. I mean, they had Yakuza 4 for like $11.
On GameStop price?
Yeah.
The GameStop reward price. Okay.
Yeah, the reward. Yeah, so, I mean, brand new, you could digitally download it for $20. But I was like, okay, for a perfect box copy with manual, with all that stuff, for about half the cost of a digital version, that's a fair play. Like, it's not outrageously expensive. But of course, I would not get, you know, usually PS4 used games are pretty pricey. But I mean,
pretty much.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, hell, we got Lego Harry Potter, the collection of all the, because, you know, fiance's big Harry Potter fan, and those Lego games are all really good. We got it for like $22.
Nice. Okay.
All right. So, yeah, whenever I was in the store, I was like, wait a minute. This might actually be kind of worth it, because I would maybe buy one used game a month from GameStop, just as like a supplemental to my collection. And, you know, if I'm spending $15 and then I save $2 or $3 here and there, why not? Yeah. So for me, in what my needs are, that's great, but I'm never going to trade in games. I don't care about pre-ordering. None of that stuff. You know what I mean? Like, nah.
Yeah.
That doesn't interest me. If I'm going to pre-order, I'm going to pre-order off of Amazon, because they're going to give me 25% off anyway, because I'm an Amazon Prime member. And I'll get the game on launch day.
Yeah. When it came to me, I usually pre-ordered, because it's like, at least when it came to Street Fighter, there was usually like a costume, like a pre-order costume that they would bring out. And then like, Amazon had one, and Best Buy had one. GameStop usually had the one that I wanted. So that's where I would just go, like, just put in $5 so I can get that pre-order costume and stuff.
Not bad at all.
The thing you want, right?
Yeah, and I mean, and here's the deal with collecting. And so far, I mean, I'm way early in the collecting game, but something that I've learned, because this is kind of collecting for everything. So if you're into stamps or coins or rocks, like whatever you collect, if you know what you're getting and you're paying a fair price, what's the problem? You know what I mean? Like, that. So you kind of have to look, and you know, and I mean, like, gamers like you and I, we're kind of young, grizzled vets, so we know what to look for.
Yeah.
You know, Joe Gamer, everyday Joe Gamer, doesn't really give a shit if the booklet's in good condition, and, you know, they just want to play games, and, you know, fair play, like, go for it. But since I'm kind of dabbling into the other side of, okay, let me see what good deal I can get. Like, let me go in specifically looking.
I mean,
yeah.
Any way to get a deal, right? No matter if it's like GameStop rewards or like going to a flea market.
Bingo. Yes.
What have
to,
you.
To throw yeah. the baby Drop. Out. Yeah. To throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Kind of drop your pride. Yeah.
Yeah. You got to get over yourself. Like, oh, GameStop, blah. But then.
yeah.
But who knows? What if Joe Gamer down the street has a freaking great condition copy of Persona 5 and he just needs to get rid of it because he needs rent money or he wants to use that to pre-order the next game he wants to play because he already beat it. Now, yeah. I can get a mint condition of Persona 5 for $10 less than I can get it anywhere else. You know what I'm saying? With the physical stuff, and yeah, it may not come with all the DLC, if that's even a thing for Persona 5, I'm not sure. But once again, if you see it and you're like, let me check the prices at 4 or 5 other places, because that might be a really good deal. Yeah. And then you're on your phone and you look it up real quick and you're like, yeah, let me take that. Let me get the extra 10% off. You know what I mean? And like, you never know, those Game Informer magazines might have a buy one, get one half off coupon.
Sure, and then
you go load up. So yeah, the reason why I got one of those is exactly, you kind of swallow your pride and you realize it might be a good idea just to have this. Because you never know what you're going to find. You never know. Like, I couldn't tell you the last time I remembered Metroid Other M was a video game, much less, like, wanted to own it. But then I saw it, and I was like, wait a minute. I could get this. It's in beautiful condition. Like, not a scuff on it. This could almost be factory sealed.
Nice.
For $6. I'm like, hell yeah, man. Like, right now, it's going on eBay for about $12.99, $14.99. So, yeah, made out pretty well.
That's good, man.
So, but I find that part of this hobby really interesting now. Like, the collecting aspect of it, because, okay, and, you know, I kind of got some Twitter hate from getting Phantasy Star 3. People are like, that game is shitty. And I was like, sort of, but it's the black sheep of the family as far as Phantasy Star. But it's a great condition. The cart looks stellar. It's a Phantasy Star game. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, a bad game in a great series is still a pretty good game.
Yeah.
And hey, you got to start somewhere. And, you know, I even like collecting I like the fact that Video Game Monthly sends the loose carts because whenever we move into our new place, which we're planning on doing by the end of the summer, we're gonna make hopefully a game room, like a office area, and like let's display that shit, let's show it off
for sure, man.
Because you know me, man, I'm so high and mighty on Steam and digital stuff because it doesn't take up any room. So I mean, I have games to play, but now this is something different. This is more like, let me build a library, let me build something that you can look at and like actually display. And I think it's neat because you never know what stuff's going to be worth either.
Right.
I mean, if you look back and, you know, people will, someone gave me beef, but they were joking because they liked all the videos I was doing. But like the Video Game Monthly box, he was like, oh, you became a real YouTuber because now you're excited about stuff that people find in their closet. You know, which is, fair play. Like, it made me laugh.
That's fair.
Yeah, and I was like, sure, man, because a loose cartridge of Sonic the Hedgehog 2, yeah, people probably have that at their grandparents' house somewhere.
Yeah.
You know? Right. But then you look, and that shit's worth $8 or whatever. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, hey, there's a value to that thing.
Yeah. I mean, like, that's the start of, like, becoming, like, a collector's, you know, attitude and stuff, man. Just scrounging around.
You just got to find the deals, man. And yeah, I did import the two games. I'm not going to give away what they are. I'm going to do a video because I'll be really proud once I get them. One of them should be coming next week. The other one, the other one was very, the email I got was very Japanese. And it was saying like, eBay doesn't tell the truth on shipping. Please wait for Japanese shipping. Oh yeah, and it was all broken English and stuff, but it was fantastic. I was like, this is also part of the experience, like getting the customer service survey in Japanese of it saying like, please don't get angry if it takes 2 months for your game to show up.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, God bless. Yeah, sure. Send it. It's fine. I'll be here.
Did an African prince like email you? And...
Yes, please. To whom it may concern. But yeah, so it's part of it, and I'll be really stoked to show it off. And so yeah, I'm trying to figure out what kind of collector I want to be, though, because kind of the worst thing you can be is just a collector of everything, because then you're going to spend a whole bunch of money on shit.
Yeah.
So it's more like what I would love to do, but of course, me being me, it's the most freaking expensive subsect of collecting you could possibly do. And I'm like,
yeah.
What if I get Japanese role-playing games from the PlayStation 1 era?
Shit.
Yeah, dude. Used Lunar Eternal Blue is $169.
Like, oh, man.
Fuck. Like, God, dude. I still... Oh, I talked about it, like, last week whenever we were getting the games for the game shopping video I did.
Mm-hmm.
I used to have a perfectly mint... copy of Suikoden 2. It had the book, it had the game, there wasn't a scuff on the case, nothing. If you look on freaking eBay right now, that shit is going for like $700 and some odd in mint condition. I mean, to be fair,
yeah.
I got 200 bucks cash for it. So I didn't make out too bad. But like looking at it now, oh, if only, yeah. Dang, you know what I mean? But yeah, of course. And some of the, even the Final Fantasies used for greatest hits labels, is like $40.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is doable. You get one of those a month and then you build your collection over a year. But it's like
a stockbroker. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. You're looking at the ebb and flow and like, what's this worth? Yeah. What's the value? And what's the going rate? And then just because somebody has a close it or buy it now thing for $60, is it really worth $60, or is it really going for $18 and you just have to shop around? Like, there's this weird like salesman haggle thing that is just really interesting about this hobby. And that's why, you know, I see something like Metroid Other M and I was like, I don't own that game, I probably should, and it's in great condition and it's $6, let's do this, like, let's pull the trigger. There's something fun about that, because it's not even a thrill of the chase. It's just like, you feel smart for finding a good deal.
Yeah, yeah, there you go.
It's like finding the perfect car on Craigslist. You know what I mean? Like, you just happen upon it, and you're like, what? This guy has a...
How did I get this?
Yeah, like a one-year-old car. Like, I'll always say my fiance is super lucky. She got a year-old car with like 6,000 miles on it. That's as close to brand spanking new for a car as you can possibly get.
Yeah.
Because 8,000 miles is barely like driving it around the lot. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know, that people just took it for two or three test drives and that's it. It had one owner, like, oh my God. It's a beacon of hope. You look at it and you're like, oh, that's a perfect deal. And got amazing financing, all that stuff. I was like, that's the best it could have possibly been. So there's stuff like that for game collecting. Because you're like, okay, someone's trying to sell me a copy of Fable or something for like $40. I'm going to laugh him out of the building because that game is worth like $5.99. But a collector's edition sealed, if they want $40, I'll give it to them in a heartbeat because that shit's worth like $300. You know what I mean? So there's that balancing act of figuring out what's a good deal and what's not. And I just find that infinitely fascinating.
Because that's interesting.
And then you also have to think, the reason why I signed up for video games monthly is they're sending me freaking Nintendo games, Super Nintendo games, and Sega Genesis games. There is a finite supply of those games.
Yeah, so you better like either request those now or like put that on your wish list almost right away.
Exactly.
So you have a better chance of getting
it.
The one you wanted to get. Yeah.
So that's why I made a list. I think each system had like 35 or 40 games. Not because I necessarily those are all the best, hottest, coolest, rarest games. I didn't even put a lot of rare games on there. I put a few just to see. But I put stuff that I was like, okay, what would I like to own? And what do I have a realistic chance of getting? You know, because I think that's fair to think like, oh, my wish list, I want a sealed copy of the first Star Ocean. It's like, yeah, I bet you do. You fucking guy, I bet you do. They wouldn't send it. Like, if they had it, they would not send it to me. They wouldn't send it to my ass. Like, no way. But, you know, they'd use it as a giveaway or some promo thing. But a loose copy of Breath of Fire 2? Mm-hmm. Maybe. You never know. It's, you know, that game by itself, I spend, like, I think $40 a month on the game thing. And they've, so far for the first month, they've been right on the money. It was like $39 worth of games. So, you know, but that game by itself is $20, $30. So if they wanted to send me Breath of Fire 2 and like four other kind of shitty games worth a dollar, that's fine. That box still paid for itself, you know?
You got your Breath of Fire.
Yeah, exactly. I got my wishlist game. So, yeah, it's like playing the odds almost. It's almost like that lottery that I know I'm going to get something I don't already have. So it's fulfilling that need of like building a collection. And then I might luck out and get something I really want. That's bonus. Like to me, that's bonus. Hey, if I get some rare RPGs, I'll flip out and that's amazing. But that's not what I'm after. I'm after just building a collection of video games. I want to have them. I want to display them. Even if they're not the best games. It's still just a cool thing to show and be like, here is some history of video games that I grew up with. Yeah, I put like Mickey Mouse Capade. I think that game's literally worth $1.50. But I was like, I grew up on that game, so I want it.
Yeah.
Like, give me that game. I want to replay it and remember being 7 years old, you know? But yeah, so have you ever gotten that itch about like collecting or like were you ever big into like special editions or is your version of it kind of like the DLC? Like here's a limited DLC for a game that I know I'm going to play. You know, I want to track this down. I want to ensure that I get that costume or that, you know, item or that set of whatever.
I think for me, like collecting is not a part of like in terms of video games. Collecting is not like not there right now. Maybe in the future, but not as of right now. Not right now because like I don't have the space to put whatever. Like say I do want to collect, but I don't have the space to put it anywhere.
Yeah.
Considering my like current living situation. So right now like that's a no. But like in terms of other stuff, like you know I collect like the Street Fighter comic books like. Paperbacks, right? To get the whole story because so like I buy like the hardcovers and I buy like the soft covers just so I can get the whole story and see what they're trying to show and tell me. And there's still a bunch of Street Fighter books that I still need to get, so I'll do that because it's a part of like me like wanting to read the story. And another part of that is somewhat collecting because I think I posted like an Instagram like picture like a long time ago saying like, this is my Street Fighter comic collection. Safe to say, I like Street Fighter. Sort of a post, and you know, people were digging it, and like, that's pretty cool. That's cool that you got all of those. Like, you are a fan. So
yeah,
but like with games, in that example of like getting the DLC costume, like it's just me. That reason was because I wanted that costume for my main character, and that was that. I'm not so much of like I have to have all of them just so I can have all of them. I mean, if it's possible, sure. If I could get it in a bundle, which I've had before, but you know, it's not so much of a priority. Not so much of a priority that I get everything, but if I do have like a somewhat of priority in terms of getting like a costume or DLC of some sort, I want to get it for the character that like I'm into or that I like. That's pretty much it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, but that makes sense. And I think you bring up a good point about almost showing that you're like a super fan. Like that you're a legit, like, yes, I like this enough that I collect the comic book. And people are like, oh shit, I didn't know they made a comic or, you know, whatever. And it's kind of that.
Oh yeah. Man. I want to support their like endeavor or whatever. Or
yeah, exactly.
Like to support the company or something.
Yeah, and I, you know, I feel that way about, yeah, certain, like, I'm always going to be a huge Blade Runner fan. Like, anything Blade Runner, I'm just probably going to buy it. I mean, it's just, that's the way it is. And like, the same thing for certain, yeah, like, I'm a huge Breath of Fire fan. So any sort of Breath of Fire stuff I can get, the better. And, you know, and, like, I could go buy, I need to get me, like, a sealed copy of Breath of Fire Dragon's Quarter. Like, the game that everybody hated, but... I think it would be I think it would be really cool to own a sealed copy of that and be like, yeah, I got this. Mm-hmm. Like, sure, everybody's value proposition for it may not be very high. Like, oh, well, you got a sealed copy of a crappy game. But I'm like, I'm a huge Breath of Fire fan. So,
or you even take a look at it at some point.
Yeah. And automatically, that value for me goes up exponentially because. Yeah. You know, and I mean, it's one of those things like Breath of Fire 3. I need to repurchase it for PS1. I used to own it. I've actually owned that game 4 times. But I need to rebuy it because, you know, I sold off my old copies and stuff like that. But I'm even thinking about getting the PSP version that only released in Europe. And just to have it, because that was my that was my very first import game ever, was Breath of Fire 3 for the PSP, because PSP was not region locked. So you could play Japanese and European UMDs on the American system, and they didn't bring it out in America. So I just imported Breath of Fire 3 for my PSP, and I was like, hell yeah. So I had that version. I want to buy it again because it's still dirt cheap. Like, I might just be a Breath of Fire super fan. And then, you know, Star Ocean, same way. Final Fantasy, not as much, just because these games lately aren't very good to me. They just kind of miss the mark. But like PS1 era, cool buddy. Like I still have, thankfully, I still have my limited edition steelbook case of Final Fantasy 12 whenever that came out. I still got that. I still got the hardbound strategy guide for it. So that's stuff I didn't get away because I just love that game so much. I was like, I need to own this stuff. And like Metal Gear Solid 3, I have the full Metal Gear Solid 3 Subsistence Special Edition with a red cover.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, yeah, I have all that, which that goes actually for a few hundred bucks now, I think. So I have just really stuff that I had in storage, just stuff that I have around. But now I'm like, maybe I should start embracing it again, you know, because of that exact thing. Like, they're going to make some cool stuff about it, and it'd be nice to display it and just kind of get back into feeling like you own the games, because I love digital, doesn't take up any room, just a hard drive, but at a certain level you don't feel like you own the game. Like, you know, and I mean, technically when you own the game like a physical copy, what if the game requires a patch and they take off the servers? Like, now you just have a paperweight. But you have a paperweight you can look at. You know, which is different. Digital games you can't look at. You just kind of scroll through your list, and then you're like, oh, that's a good game. And what I need to do, and I think they make it for the Apple, like for a Mac, but there's a way that you can import your library, whether it's like CDs or books or games, and then it makes a physical, almost like a digital bookshelf. That you can kind of like look at all of your stuff. I think something like that'd be pretty cool, but I don't think they make it for Windows. They should. But yeah, just to see the stuff and just be like, yeah, good old games does that. GOG.com, whatever you buy there, they put in like your digital library. And then whenever you look at it, it's set up like a bookcase. It's pretty cool.
Cool.
So yeah, pretty interesting stuff, but
I wanted to ask you, because you're such you're a Breath of Fire fan, did you ever get the art book for it?
No, but I have saw you it.
Seen that art book?
Udon
has it, or like it's just, I know I've seen it in my Japantown.
In
San Francisco, they usually have, like, you know, when you go to their bookstore, they have like art books of like, you know, all the video games and stuff. And I believe I saw Breath of Fire there. I think the cover was like all the Ryus, like in one picture.
Oh man, That would be sick.
Yeah, I mean, that would be something you should do. I mean, if you ever come across it. I don't know if you have a Japantown in your area, but...
No, we don't. And here's the thing. Like, I can look... If next time you're there, you want to check the price of it, I can, like, PayPal you money.
Oh, for sure.
You know what I'm saying? And, like, because
yeah,
we know
I,
that...
Yeah, if I remember to say, like, I see it and, like, oh, yeah, Wes likes it.
Yeah,
so I'll send it to you. And then, yeah, man.
I'll PayPal you money plus shipping plus, like, a $5 finder's fee. Just like, yeah, dude. You know what I'm saying? Because I would trust it. Yeah, it would be in way better condition than if I bought it just randomly off of Amazon. So, yeah, but just stuff like that, you know, and that's part of the fun, too. It's like, yeah, you're over there near San Francisco to where, like, you guys got retro game places out the wazoo. You can probably find some really rare shit.
Yeah.
So, like, if I had a wish list and I'm like, if you eyeball this, dude, call me. And I will send you PayPal money right then. You know what I mean? Like get that going.
Yeah, for sure, man.
Because that's the fun of it is like really doing outreach. And I mean, some of these guys on YouTube that really do the big collections and stuff.
They would have to have people that like eyes on the ground to.
Oh, absolutely! They have street teams everywhere.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, hey, man, I was in a Half Price Books in Austin, Texas, and I know you're in Norway right now, but I wanted to text you and see if you needed the sealed copy of this big box PC game.
Mm.
And then people are like, yeah, thanks. And then they're like, okay, cool, I'll buy it. Just PayPal me the money.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy.
That's as simple as that.
But yeah, it's awesome. I mean, that's really cool because... Then there's like almost nothing off limits,
right? Yeah, you can
have the most ridiculous need. And there's a guy on YouTube that I actually follow, and I highly recommend his channel. If you type in the Immortal John Hancock,
you mentioned him.
Yeah, that dude episode. Is one of the nicest, most genuine guys in the world. He owns over 35,000 video games.
Jeez.
His goal is to. Have his, you know, family and kind of inherit that. And then he will donate it to the Smithsonian.
Wow.
Like that's his goal is like, here is video games. Like the entire history he has. I don't even know how he has this. He has a complete, I want to say it's a complete sealed North American Sega Genesis collection.
Oh, wow.
Every single game, all like 815 games. What the fuck?
Oh, sealed and never opened, huh?
How in the world? You know what I mean? Like, the odds of that happening are so astronomically low.
Yeah.
That's fascinating to me. I was like, how did you get this? Like, you know what I mean? And some of the stuff he has the copy. It's funny. It's one of his things he's most proud of is in his Genesis collection is it's a copy of Shaq Fu. And and he's like, here's a sealed copy of Shaq Fu. And he was like, but here's the thing. And he turns it over and it has an autographed signed copy from Shaq, but it's his rap album.
Oh, nice.
So, dude, that automatically, it makes it from the worst thing ever to, like, one of the most sought-after items in video game history. And I was like, oh, my God, he has it. And, like, thing that
Superman
he has.
Himself, Shaq Diesel.
It's Shaq Diesel, you know, Big Daddy. And what's great is there's even a game that he has for the Sega Master System. And he ended up somehow, through God knows how, he ended up getting the exact same version of the Sega Master System game that he played growing up because he bought it from the owner of the rental store.
Wow.
And it had been that he said it was like 20 years had passed. And it even has the same rental store sticker on it.
Nice.
And I was like, God, he's awesome, on a different, dude, he's on a different level of collecting. Like, he got the exact copy of the game he played growing up.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's unreal. Like, once again, the odds of having that happen. Like, I need to learn all this guy's secrets just through osmosis. Yeah. Just like, how was he able to track this stuff down? But he would have to have a street team.
I would think so.
Looking everywhere.
Yeah.
But yeah, that dude's YouTube channel is amazing. And he's a super smart guy. He's super genuine. Like, he's a family man. Super cool. Mm. The entire bottom, I think he has like a 3-story house. The entire bottom story is just video games. But it's all like libraried out. So it's in alphabetical order. And then it's basically stuff built into the walls. And you just look at his collection and you're like, jeez.
Yeah, I can imagine.
You know, it's just, yeah, he's on another level. Even all of the other collectors on YouTube are like, yeah, this guy's a legend. Mm-hmm. He's an actual, like, he is the guy that we all aspire to be. But yeah, it's a cool hobby. Like, it's something that I don't know exactly how deep down the rabbit hole I'm going to go. I do think I'm going to get the games I played growing up. I think that's a very important part of it. I do think I'm going to try to get some stuff maybe off the beaten path. Like, here's a weird version of this game that came out like sponsored by 7-Up or something. Like, just weird random stuff I think would be fun. But yeah, I think it's, I'm about to send Mark, I'm about to send you a picture of this guy's collection.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Through Discord. So, but yeah, so guys, just go and check out the Immortal John Hancock. If you just type that in to,
okay.
That's one room. And
that's
as you
one
can see,
wall.
That's one wall. That's his Nintendo 64 collection.
That's crazy.
So yeah, the guy's the real deal. And he has sealed copies of bundle packs of Super Nintendos. Like, what the fuck? How do you get this? but he admits, like, if he started collecting today, he wouldn't have 1/1000th of what he has. He was like, it's too expensive. He was like, I actually just had this stuff because I bought it when it was new. And I just never opened it. And then he brought up a good point, and that's kind of why I started looking at Wii games. Is he's like, now nobody wants Wii games.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants them. Just they're thrown out. And he was like, and Wii U is about to happen too. Nobody wants Wii U games because the Switch is now a thing.
It's about the Switch. Yeah.
So he's like, go to your local game shops and look through those, because people are going to trade in their perfectly good, amazing condition Wii and Wii U games to get Switch games every time.
Yeah.
And he's not wrong. Like, I went and I was like, holy shit, that guy was right. So there's just I'm getting real into it, because I guess it once again sparked the love of video games. Because it's like, now I'm looking at them in a different way. To where now they hold value. They actually tangibly, each one holds a specific value. And then you can see if you're getting a good deal and if it's a fair price. And yeah, it's just an interesting dynamic to introduce into the equation. Because beforehand, you think, oh, I'm going to pre-order a game. I'll go to the store. I'll pick it up. I'll buy it at Walmart. Whatever. It's a Steam sale. Let me get it. I save some money. But there's no real thrill of the chase for that. Everything's kind of delivered to you. But with here, you walk into the stores. You're kind of out and about in the world. You have a cup of coffee in your hand or whatever, and then you're like, oh shit, I see that, and that's a great deal. Let me buy that. But yeah, and just the fact that you can import stuff and that Retron 5 plays Japanese games and translates them is just, that's stupid. That type of technology is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, so I'm hoping, man, I got my fingers crossed. I'm excited about the next unboxing video for Video Games Monthly. Because I put Super Famicom on there, and I gave them my wish list of all Japanese role-playing games that are not going to be very expensive. But, like, I might pass out if I unbox a copy of Chrono Trigger. Just because I've never owned a physical Super Nintendo copy of Chrono Trigger. I've never had it.
Really? Oh, okay.
Never. So, owning it, just owning the physical thing, and being able to play it, I'm going to be like beside myself, because I've had all the re-releases, and the one on PS1, and then they made one for the DS that was really good. And of course on emulators, it's a perfect rendition of it, but there's something to be said about, here is the thing. So if the emulator stops working, if I can't find any of the other re-releases, I have the real thing right here.
Right.
As it was originally intended.
Cool.
So yeah, but overall just kind of a, I guess this was just like a waxing and nostalgic episode of Brethren Around, you know. We talked about the Sega stuff, which was kick ass. Yeah, all the game collecting and kind of that new side of the hobby. But yeah, it's interesting, and I think this is actually going to lead to a lot of really neat YouTube content. About, hey, I was at the store, I found this, I found these games, this is cool. Like, I am planning on doing a pickup video. I can't think of what to call it, though. Just like, here's the stuff that I got over the past month.
As long as the store people not looking you funny.
Yeah, those managers that were eyeballing me. It was that one store, though. They were like, I bet they thought I was, like, casing the joint.
okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
my boss.
Yeah, yeah, I'm just going in there, and I'm like, ah, yeah, I'll be back here at midnight with a crowbar. I'll get all the games in my collection. But
the Wet Bandits.
Yeah, sticky fingers. But yeah, in the store that I worked at before, they were real chill with it. I was like, yeah, I'm just doing YouTube stuff. I'm like, oh, yeah, dude, whatever. So then got to film. So, but yeah, I think that'll be a fun series. I'll do that maybe once a month. We'll just go out and have a talk of the town. And I was even thinking it would be fun to do it to where I have a $10 spending limit and I have to get the best game I can. So like,
you're almost supermarket sweeping it.
That's right, man. So like a $10 limit, but what is the best? And I can't use my phone to look at Metacritic. I can't do any of that stuff, but what is the best game for like between the Sega Genesis and the Super Nintendo that I can get for $10, you know, $9.95, like I might go a little over on tax, but, or I might even make the stipulation that no, I have a $10 bill and I have to use this to buy it and I can't have change, nothing. Like it has to be under $10 with tax, with everything. What is the best quality game I can get for $10? Yeah. So, because that's, you know, and that will change based on the region you're in. That'll change based on, like, what inventory your store has. So, stuff like that I think would be pretty fun. It would be something different. It would be, you know, and some of it, you know, people might not be into it. But I think it would bring in a whole new set of eyeballs.
For sure.
People are like, oh, for $10, what did he get? What game did he get?
Yeah. Yeah, like they'll watch the video until the end. It's like, oh, what did he get? Because, you know, you're not going to show it like the first like 5 seconds into the video.
And then, well, I got this game. Thanks for watching. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it'll be the whole bit. It'll be me walking around a store and then me being like, okay, I have it between these three games and I can't decide. And then it could be me like literally saying, well, this game did this, but I like this, you know, because then you're almost reviewing a game on the fly.
Pretty much.
Based on memory. And then you see if you made the right choice. And then people on YouTube are like, oh shit, you made the wrong choice. Or, you know, hey, hell, that's a great pick for $10. Or, you know, it just adds a different dynamic to it.
Yeah.
Cool, man. Yeah, man, a little waxing nostalgic, you know.
Yeah,
it does good every once in a while. It's tough being cynical about everything all the time. It's sometimes it's nice about, you know, actually enjoying the hobbies that we do.
Exactly.
You know, there's too much hate out there, kids. Don't fall for that angry, ranty video game shit. Don't fall for it.
It's too much critical talking.
Yeah, exactly. People are just too hard on everything. And you know, hell, me and Brian Bolita always got made fun of for liking everything. You know, I'm going to continue that trend of liking video games.
There you go.
You know, I think that's a good way to go. I think liking video games is
a pretty
safe bet. But that is that is our time here. That is Mr. Marco Flores. You can hit him up on Twitter, twitter.com/MarcoPolo. 177 also twitter.com/nerdinthebay. You can go to youtube.com/nerdinthebay to see all kinds of videos. Oh my god, you've been a rock star.
I have some tech I have yet to showcase, but I'm waiting for the right moment.
Oh, hey, some sizzler right there.
Yep,
a little teaser.
You can kind of see it in previous videos, like now a little bit, but
yeah,
I've yet to showcase the thing that is, yeah, the thing that is gonna up the ante in on the channel. So
interesting. Now I'm back. I might pick your brain about that. So yeah, now I'm really intrigued. And of course, I'm Mr. Kami de Hobo. You can go to KamiDeHobo.com for all the Brother Ron show notes, all the YouTube archives of the show. You can hit me up on Twitter, twitter.com/KamiDeHobo. And also freaking on Facebook, crazy, facebook.com/KamiDeHobo. Yeah, we're taking questions. I'm going to be doing a Q&A episode of Kami Log pretty soon. So send in those questions. Oh. It can be anything and everything.
Yeah,
but that is going to be our time. That's episode 20, what was it, 8? 29?
I am actually, you know what, let me look. We're going to look now. Because I was actually confused in the middle of me doing Howard Finkel.
The Fink, yeah.
The Fink. Let's see.
Be careful for that choke slam.
Choke slam. You'll go one on one with Kane.
With the Undertaker.
Undertaker. Let's see. We are at. So last week was episode 27. So this is 28.
28. Beautiful. On the record.
Yeah. Official. Two away from 30.
20. Oh, man. We're getting there. Holy crap. Oh, we're going to have to think of something for a 50 special.
50.
Man, that's coming quick.
Okay.
Anyway, that means we're almost a year in, dude.
Oh, crazy. Awesome. Yeah.
Crazy. All right. But that's our time, guys. Thanks for hanging out with us. Of course, check out KamiDeHobo.com, of course, for all those show notes and stuff. But we're going to see you guys next week. Until then, take it easy, and we'll see you later. Peace.
Bye.